Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Lieutenant General Stephen Botell, Chief Information Officer in G6, Department of the Army. Joining us in our conversation is Chuck Pro.
General Botell, you are considered a pioneer in the area of tactical communications. Can you explain the importance of tactical communications to our listeners, and what innovations you expect to see that will positively affect the Army?
Great question, Chuck. The tactical communication world is a little bit different. In previous times prior to 1989, tactical communication was pretty much tethered to infrastructure within Europe, within Germany, where we thought we might have to fight a war with the Warsaw Pact. Tactical communications today in a fight against a group of terrorists that have no alignment in a particular state or nation requires you to go into many of these fallen states or third world countries or very poor countries. Afghanistan, probably the third poorest country in the world. There is no infrastructure. There's no electricity. There's no potable water. There's no batteries, places to buy batteries for your radios. You have to bring it with you. There's no telephone systems, no cell systems, although they are starting to evolve cell systems in the bigger cities like Kabul. But you got to bring it all with you. So when you bring it all with you and you have no electricity to plug into, you get into the tactical world very quickly. And that is, I have to be able to talk to someone either across the street, on the next mountaintop, or in the next valley. And the way you do that are usually systems that are not readily available in the commercial market. They must be able to withstand the tremendous temperatures and weather environments that we operate in. And that drives you to the tactical arena, usually at the lowest level of FM voice, and usually secure FM voice. And you move up for longer distances to what we call tactical UHF satellite. That whole world of tactical arena is only somewhat applicable to the commercial world and usually pretty much customized to the work we do. Although we're seeing much more in use of things like the 802.11 protocols, B and G, and some of the other protocols, we're starting to see a little bit of inroads to the commercial protocols. That's primarily the tactical world, and it's really a standalone, sustaining, power it yourself, carry it on your back, or carry it on a vehicle if you can get a vehicle into a type of communications.
Information technology has and will continue to play a vital role in current operations around the world. What can industry do to improve IT for the benefit of the Army and its evolution into overseas conflicts?
A couple things we need to think about. One, at the higher level, and this is really across the entire network, is the information assurance piece. Let's face it, we're out there and we are an information-based Army and we are an information-based Department of Defense and federal government. And that's a strength, but it is also a weakness. And so tremendous amounts of resources and effort being put into things like firewalls and antivirus packages and packages that will push the AIVA updates across the battlefield to every computer. That's one piece that we really need industry's help on, and it's a continuing thing. We can secure all of our networks today, but the enemy has a vote, be that a script kiddie or a local hacker or maybe a determined enemy on the net. So even though we secure our nets today, that enemy will continue to try to attack and have better techniques and better tools in the future, so you must continue to improve those information assurance things. On the other pieces, we need to push the envelope. When you're pushing people out in strange places in the world in a mobile and harsh environment, the commercial product as it stands probably will not do the job. Mobile computing, much of the mobile computing came early in the armed forces. We were running mobile computers and helicopters and airplanes and tanks significantly before we had it probably in our house or we're carrying our PDAs around. So as we continue to push that envelope, we find higher demand for more bandwidth, to have higher resolution imagery, to see unmanned aerial vehicles streaming video. Those types of things will continue to push the industry on providing protocols and standards to give us those products in a timely manner.
Let's take a step back and think about IT projects in general. How would you compare and contrast, say, creating technology solutions in the military versus civilian agencies in the federal government?
In the military today, unlike 20 years ago, we don't create a lot of IT solutions. There was a time when the Army held, and we still hold many patents, but that we actually created devices, we created radios, we created things. Now we rely heavily and we leverage the commercial community to do that. So I think you'll find that across the federal government. But the Army, by law, is very much restricted and bounded by some things we do. We fight and win the nation's wars. And so we focus primarily outside the continental United States. Now, the National Guard, under its Title 32 role, does have a role within the different states, and that's pretty much codified. So we focus outside. The National Guard focuses inside unless we activate them, mobilize them, and bring them with us. The reserve, of course, is part of the active army or direct support of the active army. So we really focus a little different. Each federal agency, be it Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA, really, you know, which enclaves they focus in. The FBI is very centric to the United States. The CIA is outside the United States. The Army and the Armed Forces focus outside the United States. We have some role in certain occasions within the United States.
How do you see the Army's CIO G6 evolving in the years ahead?
Yeah, the CIO role, as you know, has become increasingly more active in the last few years. A lot of that is because of the Clinger-Cohen Act. Clinger-Cohen Act gives each agency very strong roles for the CIOs, the Chief Information Officer, to perform, and that's codified in law. But I would suggest, and some of my CIO counterparts and brethren may not appreciate it, that at the turn of the century, we had a vice president for electricity as we brought electricity into manufacturing plants. And so the CIO today will probably be here for 10, 20, 30 years. But as IT becomes the common backbone of everything we do, that will be an evolving role. I have no idea what that role will be 20 years from now, but it will be significantly different today when we are initially bringing on IT services versus getting into knowledge management and where that goes. It may be more of a knowledge management officer than a CIO.
More generally, where do you see the Army's movement over the next 5 to 10 years?
I think the Army's movement is really networking the force. Okay, networking the force to the lowest level. We can provide the transport network anywhere we want to today by brute force and resourcing. The issue we still have to solve, and we have on the books and we're working on it very hard, and I believe it'll be solved in the next 3 to 5 years, is networking in the soldier at the lowest level of the special forces operator. That's the hard part. He needs a lot more bandwidth, and he needs it in places where there is no infrastructure on this globe. That's the hard part. That's what we're working on. And battery technologies support it. You know, it takes a tremendous amount of battery technology, lots and lots of batteries to support just about anything we do. So power technologies to support those things and getting that large bandwidth down to the individual soldier or special operator.
You spent the bulk of your career serving our country. What advice would you give to a young person interested in a career in public service?
I think the first thing I would do is it's like any other thing you want to do. If you want to get into something, be good at what you do. You can take that niche, whatever niche you decide you have an interest in, and become the expert in that niche, be it IP services, you know, XML, whatever that may be. It's significantly different. When I look across our population that we have in the Army, both civilian and military and contractor, all three, I find a seam there, age 30 to 35. If you're under 30 or 35, you probably grew up with IT technology, maybe just as a tool around the house. If you're over 30, 35, you probably have if you've taken an interest in it or it was part of your job, you may become very good at it. If you're not into that business, you need to make a concerted effort to learn some of these basic technologies about the web and IT services. Great opportunities to do great things. It's very fast moving. There are opportunities when you deal within the Department of Defense to get access very quickly to high-end systems, technological systems, systems used globally, technologies that are far beyond what you might be able to do in the public sector. So I would suggest that a lot of this for us is self-schooling, a lot of reading, a lot of time visiting different organizations and how they do business. But there are great opportunities in the civilian sector, in the Department of Army civilian sector, and also in the military sector in these technologies. It's in demand. It's something the Army needs, and it's something our nation needs to empower those warfighters to do the things that are important for our nation in the future.
Well, that'll have to be our last question for this morning. Chuck and I want to thank you very much for joining us, General.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Paul. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Lieutenant General Steve Botell, Chief Information Officer in G6, the U.S. Department of Army. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, and you can also get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.